There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss, Polly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Very busy show lined up today. In 90 minutes, we'll talk NFL Draft with Mike Renner. Lead draft analyst at Pro Football Focus does a great job with this event. We'll try to make some money at that time with some draft props. Greg Wyshynski on the NHL in 2 hours, and Doug Kazarian, Daily Wager on the NBA playoffs in 2.5 hours. And, Paulie, that is where we are going to begin with the two play-in games that we have tonight, the Cavaliers at the Nets. And at Bet Rivers right now, the Nets are laying 8.5 total. 228. They played four times this year. The last time they played was on April 8th, and that number was pretty much the same, 8.5. The total opened where it is right now, closed 232.5. It stayed under. Nets, one covered. In the three previous games, you can kind of get an idea of where the market was early on in the season. They played twice in November. The Nets were 9.5 at home. Total was 207.
Die.
And it was 109.99. They played 5 days later in Cleveland. Nets were 5.5, and it was 208.5. They won 117-112. Then they played a couple of months later in Cleveland, January 17th. Cavs were -4 in that game. Total was 222. They won 114-107. But you can see how some of these numbers, yep, players were missing throughout the whole year. But they've changed drastically, but that's what happens throughout a whole year.
Number one, free roll for the Cavs. I mean, the Nets, you're supposed to... You're not supposed to be in the play-in round, and you're supposed to be a factor here in the Eastern Conference playoffs. And the Cavs had a 22-game improvement. No one had them as a playoff team. Bickerstaff did a great job. It's unfortunate with the injuries, and it doesn't look like Allen's going to go. I thought he would play. They're 3-8 without him, and Drummond beat him up in that last game too. So no answer down low for him. So that's enormous that they're not going to have Allen, or if he plays tonight, he's compromised. But as we've been saying for 2 weeks straight here, how do you lay points with this team at home? It's been a horror show for the Nets at home.
Right. They are,
ATS, yep,
because of the Allen injury, if he can't go tonight, not looking good, that means that defensively that all lands on Mobley's shoulders then as a rookie. Who, I mean, the guy was actually in like the defensive player of the year or not, or like first couple of teams all defensive as a rookie. That doesn't happen very often. But it kind of changes what he has to do defensively, and that opens it up for the Nets.
Yeah, and I'm throwing out the previous meetings too. I mean, they just played, I know, but the other one, like Minnesota.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Minnesota and the Clippers, three of the Clippers' wins were in November. They all were in November.
Right.
So then it's like, when you look at that, who was playing? Was it a back-to-back? All that kind of business. Who was on an extended road trip? All of that as well. But this is a great story here, and Allen's not going to play, but in any event, see if they can hang. Garland's given him fits,
yep.
And Garland was fantastic. That was a weird game the last time they played. They had a huge third quarter, and then the Nets came back to beat them, and had an impressive fourth quarter as well. But the props are great. A menu here with all the props. Durant has been sensational in his career in the playoffs. Does he go off? What do you get out of Kyrie? But I'll tell you what, a shot in the arm for the Nets could be a healthy Curry, or at least close to 100%, and also Brown has played well and shot the ball well.
Sure.
Because that you worry about the supporting cast now.
Yeah, Durant, in three games this year against Cleveland, averaged 28.7 points per game. He shot 51% from the floor and 54% from downtown. His player prop last night opened up at 31.5 for the points. Of course, there's going to be juice added. Oh. You got to pay a premium if you want to go over on guys like Kevin Durant throughout the playoffs. That's just what books are going to do. And you mentioned Garland. In four games this year against the Nets, he averaged 25.3 points, 8 assists, and 4 rebounds. But his number is 37.5 tonight based on his season average, right? For the points, rebounds, and assists prop
tonight.
Too low.
Yeah, too low. Yes, largest lead, 19.5. Combined made threes, 21.5. You got Kyrie points and assists is 35 points. Kyrie's going to hit 4 threes? He's 3.5. What do you think of that prop? I go under there.
I would probably look at under as well. And he played them two games this year. He averaged 22.5 points. Again, do you want to take any stock into what he did in the regular season or throw those completely out?
Yeah, I'd throw those out. Durant to have a triple-double 7-1 at Bet Rivers.
That's too low. I could not bet that number.
No, okay.
I would need a little bit more on that on Durant, yes.
Yep.
Aldridge averaged 19.3 points per game in three games against the Cavaliers this year. So he did well. Drummond, like you said, 15 the last time out. Actually, what do you expect from Patty Mills?
Nothing.
Okay, because he played well against the Cavaliers.
He was, again, we talked about it. He hit the wall. Career high in minutes in January, February, December. Yeah, January, February, career high in minutes. So they ran him into the ground. I don't think he has much left.
So overall, would you look at the Cavaliers plus the 8.5?
Yeah.
More than anything else tonight?
I can't trust. You don't play any defense. The defense is horrendous.
Mm-hmm.
You're laying points with this team and you can't get stops? Absolutely.
Yep. And in the other game tonight, Clippers at the T-Wolves. This is a very entertaining game on paper. And again, the four times they met, like you said, I mean, they played a long time ago. They played three times right away in early to mid-November. And the Clips got them all three times. Those totals were 212.5, 215.5, and 220.5. And the total tonight is 230.5, which is where it should be with how they play. I'll tell you, Karl-Anthony Towns in the games that he played in the regular season did not do well against the Clippers. He averaged 15 points per game against the Clippers throughout the regular season. Not good for him. He only shot 42%.
Good matchup. Good matchup. Going back, one more thing on the other game to support my argument.
Oh, sorry.
No, it's my fault. The Nets are 20th in defense. The Cavs are 5th. That's why I can't lay the points with the Nets. I'm rooting for the T-Wolves tonight because it'd be a horrible matchup, on paper at least, against Memphis. Horrible. The other thing is they're turned into the Sacramento Kings. They got one trip to the playoffs since 2004-05.
Well, was that the
Butler.
Year? Yeah. Okay, so the Butler year, and
they
then
lost to the Rockets.
Yeah, the 2004 year was the Kevin Garnett number one seed overall in the West year. No, they made the playoffs after that, I'm guessing.
I don't know. You might be right.
Okay, but how many deep runs have they made in the playoffs?
That too, right. That was it.
That was it, I think. When they were the one seed, hosted the Lakers to go to the NBA Finals. That was probably the only time that the team ever made a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, but if Minnesota wins, then they play Memphis. Minnesota can't get rebounds. They are 28th in defensive rebounding percentage. And Memphis is number one in offensive rebounding rate. That would be a bloodbath.
And by the way, what would you make the total? I know it's a playoff series.
It'd be big too, yeah.
Things change, but what would you make the total between Minnesota and Memphis?
240s. High 230s.
It would have to be.
Right. Another thing. Minnesota has problems guarding without fouling. I mean, they foul way too much. They're 29th in the league in opponent's free throw rate. So they foul, and the opponent keeps going to the free throw line. And the other thing, too, I mean, you see the big total here. This is the most efficient team on offense since January 1st, the T-Wolves.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot of firepower. They can score. Clippers are a good story, too. I mean, with all these injuries, and Lou did a great job, so did Finch, two good coaches here, but you didn't have PG for much of the season. You get him back, he's played well. You had the acquisition of Powell. Kennard is questionable. A couple guys got dinged up down the stretch for the Clippers as well. Zubac down low, maybe could do something. But the T-Wolves should win this game.
Yeah,
they should win.
Paul George played in three of the games in the regular season against Minnesota. For the Wolves, by the way, D'Angelo Russell only played in one. Only one of the four games. And Anthony Edwards led them in scoring with 23.5 points. His prop tonight, obviously, is pretty high. Points, rebounds, and assists for Anthony Edwards opened up last night at 31.5, I believe. Katz is 42.5. I just told you, he averaged 15 points a game against them in the regular season. His player prop opened up 27.5 last night.
It's a big game for him. Big for, you know, about where you rank in terms of elite players in the NBA, because he did not play well in that playoff series against Houston. So he has to come out and get this done. You're at home. You're supposed to win this game.
At some point, guys that are as good as Cat, they need to actually win games like this.
Yep.
I mean, top of my head, Karl Anthony Towns has been in the league for 7 years. Like, you need to, and they've done a decent job of, you know, acquiring talent with him. You need to actually, like, make the playoffs. You have to at some point.
Yep. Yep.
And the total made threes tonight in this game is
26. Yes. Largest lead over under 15.5. And Towns is minus $3 to have a double-double. I think that's going to happen.
I don't know.
Paul George is plus 230. That's the other thing, though, about, you know, one of the most ridiculous nicknames, Playoff P. Guy's been horrible going back. So what do you get out of Paul George tonight, who's had some horrible moments here lately?
How about Reggie Jackson? He averaged almost 19 a game against the T-Wolves. Never really had an answer for him, and his player prop was 17.5.
Right, but this goes back to what we talked about a little bit yesterday, too, where you see these big totals and a little bit of an adjustment, because now you think, okay, it's playoff basketball. You slow it down now. Well, Minnesota was number one in pace,
right,
and I ran down all those numbers with the Wolves. Now, the Clippers won't be able to beat them up on the glass because LA's 26 in offensive rebounding rate, so they won't hurt the T-Wolves there where they have issues grabbing the boards. But you'll just see crazy pace tonight and a ton of threes, I think, in a high-scoring game. But that, remember, we saw so many unders to start the playoffs last year.
Yeah, based on what you said, I would kind of like to see Memphis, Minnesota in the first round of the playoffs. Kind of look at the Clippers tonight, though, in this game. Although the number now has where it's at with three, maybe go in play. T-Wolves get off to a hot start at home and come back with the Clippers at that point for the better number in play.
The loser's not... It's not a disaster if you get beat, because you'll be a good size favorite, whoever comes out of the game
that's
tomorrow.
For sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And another thing that we learned yesterday, because a lot of people who have votes for the awards, there's going to be some big tickets getting cashed the way it appears. I would just say this. Mm-hmm. I don't think Ja Morant winning the Most Improved Player of the Year award is a foregone conclusion at all. And I disagreed with that market the entire year, and it looked like some of the voters did as well. It's not a shoe in that. He was like minus 2,500 the last time I saw. That was like 2 days ago.
Yeah.
I think that was way off.
Yep.
The first hour of Follow the Money is brought to you exclusively by BetRivers, your hometown sportsbook. Check out their daily specials at BetRivers.com. Up next, we'll run down last night's betting action with Win Some, Lose Some. And this audio is incredible. How delusional is this player? Coming up here on Follow the Money.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, BetRivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCast designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philly, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. What are they saying Wahlberg's worth?
We're seeing up to $400 million.
Oh, my God. I can see. Well, you're right about the how many movies he's done. I'm looking. I got the resume in front of me. My God.
It's an endless list.
Fear put him on the map in terms of movies.
Right. Boogie Nights.
Great in Boogie Nights.
Yeah, of course.
Great movie. Great as Dirk Diggler.
I think Boogie Nights, is that 25 years old now? I can't even believe
97.
That. Oh, my God.
You're not the boss of me. Planet of the Apes, tanked. I didn't like him in Rockstar. Great Italian Job's a good movie.
It's solid.
Norton's good in it.
Mm-hmm.
Theron, yes. He was good in No Pain, No Gain with The Rock.
The Rock, okay.
Excellent in Shooter. Great in Departed, supporting role, though. We Own the Night, not that bad. You said he said he's excellent in The Other Guys?
Well, no, the movie
well,
is...
Well, the movie's good.
The movie's good. The best part about The Other Guys is that he stars in it with Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell, and he plays such a dork in the movie. He's a numbers cruncher, but he married Ava Mendez. And the whole movie, Mark Wahlberg is like, how did you land her? I don't get it. What happened? So that part, that angle is pretty funny.
Yeah, Pain and Game was the name of the movie.
All right.
But he's Lone Survivor, I guess would be another one. I thought he was excellent in The Gambler.
You know, I've never seen that one. I watched the original. The original is very good.
He lost a lot of weight for the role.
Okay.
And I think he told his wife to punish himself because he had to lose so much weight. He would walk around and like go to, and sit outside bakeries.
That's
and
right.
Smell.
The smell.
Yeah.
And that's it. We couldn't eat anything.
Yep. Yep.
I would watch that. I need to get on that, actually, the remake of it.
Father Stook, I pass. Hard pass.
That's going to be no thank you.
On Father
Stook.
But
we can't forget about this in terms of the money. He's a big-time producer as well, and he produced Entourage. Now, I would say this about Entourage. The first two seasons are superb. It's very good. That show quickly goes downhill, and I know I'm in the minority.
That's top five most overrated. Easy.
Like season three, I believe it is. I couldn't watch it anymore.
It's trash.
Done. Tapped out.
It is trash.
But it's good to begin with. And after that, but, you know, when you produce stuff, that's how you're going to make a ton of your money.
Every episode, every season. It works out
oh,
for
Oh, look at
you,
this,
huh?
We hit the lottery again tonight. Yeah, this is great.
You landed the big role, huh? Sure. No adversity in your life. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay,
very
so tell us about this team in the NHL. It's a battle for, like, first place. They were 20-1 to win their division recently.
Well, everyone was pointing it out a couple weeks ago about the Rangers. But, hey, look at the schedule. They can do this.
Yep.
And they've been hot. And Shesterkin now $8 to win the Vezina. They just played, taking on Carolina about a week ago, and that was the game they threw Georgiev in there, and he stood on his head. The shots were like 44-16,
right.
And the Rangers won 2-0. But they're hot, and this is for first place now. I still would lay the 250 at Bet Rivers and other places for Carolina to win the Metro because they have the game tonight, but still an easier schedule the rest of the way. But great story here with the Rangers, and. Also, I know Greg Wyshynski's coming up later. He wrote about this, that you know, the Rangers might be better off playing Pittsburgh in the first round because it's such a good matchup, and Igor just shut them out. But this is a big game tonight, and they are tied with Carolina if they win tonight.
So they're 3-1 now to win their division. And they were 20-1 not that
that's
long
right.
ago.
Yeah.
Okay. There's only one other division on the board that I'm looking at right now. That's the Pacific. Edmonton is 70-1.
70?
70, yeah.
Oh, God.
Is there any chance that they can catch Calgary?
No. Calgary has a game in hand. There's Edmonton, I think, only has 9 games left, and Calgary has an easy schedule, and they figure to win tonight. There are three $4 favorites or higher tonight in hockey.
I saw that the Maple Leafs last night in the overnight opened up -2.5 goals, and it wasn't even money.
The Maple Leafs are $4. The Panthers are $4. Calgary is $3.95 against the Kraken. And that'll go, that's 4:30 in some spots, too.
So why don't you tease Wyshynski's appearance by telling everybody what he said, first-round team that's going to go down?
They asked all the NHL insiders what team you want to play in the first round. He goes, here's a hot take. How about Toronto? They haven't been out of the first round since 2003. This is me talking, though, but it turns about the goaltending. I'll throw that in there. But he went on to say the amount of pressure on the organization and the team and the local media as a parade every time they have a winning streak and they want a clean house and change the whole roster every time there's a losing streak.
Sounds about right, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
I would actually, I want to see this team go on a deep run.
So do I.
I want to see the excitement in that city. Doesn't hurt that we're obviously on Sportsnet up in Toronto and across Canada, but I think that would be, if they can make a deep run.
And Edmonton.
With the season, I'm all for Canadian teams making deep runs in the Stanley Cup playoffs. I really am. But with the season that Matthews is putting together now, I don't want it to be, just as a fan of the sport, I don't want it to be wasted, right? Go out there, win, like win in 5 games, by the way, but that could only lead to some false optimism, I guess, at that point, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is really going to be our year. And then, okay.
Yep.
All right.
They're
as high as $5 in one spot. Florida almost touching $5 right now against the Ducks.
Well, we mentioned it briefly yesterday, the Panthers again, the team total over on a 10-1 run, playing these high scoring games. There's a 6.5 against the Ducks. My God, Anaheim's terrible. But Florida's won 7 in a row as well.
And they're the total in the game is 7.5. Mm. You gotta pay some vig to actually go over that tonight. But they're 9-3 last 12 with 7 goals or more. 6.5. I'm sorry. Total, if I said 6.5, I apologize. No. It's 6.5 for the total tonight. 9 out of the last 12, they've had at least 7 goals in their games.
Yep. And it's a big game for Vegas. They're in Vancouver. They're $1.30. They are 2 points behind Dallas. Dallas had a horrible loss to the Devils over the weekend. Dallas is up 2 on Vegas. They have a game in hand. Nashville is up 3 points on Vegas. They have a game in hand. Vegas has a game in hand on the Kings, and they trail by 2 points. That might be the team they're going to have to catch. But the Kings have a kind of an easy schedule after the rest of the way. But the Kings have lost 3 in a row. They got to get this one tonight. They're playing Chicago on the road.
Yes.
They can't win this game. It's not going to. I mean, come on.
So on your ticket that you have with the Golden Knights to miss the playoffs, where are you at with that right now?
Not going to do anything.
You're feeling pretty good about it?
Yeah. I can't believe the price. They're like a plus 105 to make it. I don't see it. They have a tough schedule coming up, and the games in hand thing is going to kill them.
I think so, too.
The Kings would have to collapse, which could happen.
It could happen, yes.
Yeah, if they lose tonight. I mean, I think in Vegas, but the injuries, inconsistent play, losing at home the other night, or last week, whatever it was.
Like, still to this day, the uncertainty here locally about players who could be coming back, mm-hmm. and like the unknown dates where they might actually be available. It's nobody has any idea.
Yeah.
So when that's been the storyline of the entire year, it's tough to like, okay, hey guys, let's get it all together now. And oh, by the way, like there's this thing of players actually missing pretty much the entire year and then coming back. Hey, now go out there and be great. And it might be difficult to do.
Yeah.
You know, it's like how many guys come back like Paul George did when he missed that much time, go out there and give us 35 points. Okay. No problem, coach. I can do that.
It appears most of these awards and divisions are over, too. I mean, the only thing is Metro. You just ran down what Calgary is.
No, they're -20,000.
Right, the other two divisions are over. And then Shesterkin's up to $8.50 with the Vezina after the shutout against Pittsburgh and shutting down Ottawa. And then and Markstrom and Anderson have been shaky, at least giving up goals, however you want to look at it. And Matthew, I mean, come on, he scores every night.
Yeah, he's now approaching like $4.
Yeah.
Yeah. But with those parlays that you can put together on the same game parlays with the Maple Leafs, like, will he score? And no question, these are super popular bets up in Ontario, but like, will Matthew score and will the Leafs win? Or will he score and will the game go over? I mean, it's been, what was it, the other night in their last game? He scored 2 goals before you could blink? I mean, if he, what's realistic right now with him? 60, can he get to 65 goals on the year?
Sure.
Mm-hmm. We could be talking about how -360 right now in that neighborhood to win the Hart is going to be Ohtani territory pretty soon. You see, you can't ignore again what he's doing. The only problem is, and again, I would implore all these leagues, don't waste time with paying out on the awards. Don't drag it out until the end of June in the NBA. You have to realize that fans of your sport have been betting on this stuff now since like October. Have announced this stuff. There's no reason. Who cares? There's no drama in this. The awards are in. Count them. Announce it by this weekend. Give us like the rookie of the year in the NBA.
Silly.
Announce the Hart in the NHL by like May 1st. Mm-hmm. There's no reason to drag it out any longer. I mean, the baseball stuff. If you're making future bets.
Oh, no. Middle of November?
It was last year. It was November 18th, I believe.
They got to change that stuff.
Come on, guys. What are we doing here?
Late June. We already moved on.
Yeah, oh, big
Everyone
time.
Be like, what?
Oh, well,
Award ceremony.
But we want to be in the news there every single day. Who cares? Yeah. Get it over with. Put a wrap on it already. It is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. The email is ftm@vsin.com. FTM for Follow the Money at vsin.com. Also on Twitter at VSiN Live, at Mitch Moss Radio, and at Paulie Howard. We will hit today's huge Major League Baseball card coming up next. Could be getting some serious runs in this matchup today. We'll run down the pitching matchups and the numbers here early morning on VSiN. Coming up next.
Follow the Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Conquer the competition for cash with the Northman Clash on the Ice Challenge. Join 2 free-to-play pools and compete for your share of $10,000 in total cash prizes with your hockey predictions. Head to DraftKings.com/The Northman now to join the action. The Northman in theaters April 22nd. DraftKings.com for details.
All right, NFL Draft here as Mike Renner joins the program, does a great job for Pro Football Focus. He is their lead draft analyst. And by the way, be on the lookout for a new special, really cool project that he's doing with the projected number one overall pick, Aiden Hutchinson. Going to be available tomorrow, titled Hutch, anywhere you listen to podcasts and on PFF's YouTube channel. Be sure to check out Hutch, a story that dives into Aiden's childhood, early years at Michigan, and the incredible 2021 season. Mike, thanks for the time today. Let's begin with that then. I'm seeing steam now for Walker, the kid from Georgia, to go number one overall. Do you think Aiden should be minus $4 right now to go as the number one overall pick in the draft?
I do. I think that is just steam and not necessarily based in reality, because there probably are teams at the top who are fans of his. I mean, that is an all-time athlete for the defensive end position, but it's not like Aiden Hutchinson. It's not like you're comparing him to any slouch athletically. Like, Aiden Hutchinson had the sixth best weight-adjusted three-cone time in NFL history. Like, this guy can move. And that, to me, a three-cone, the ability to turn, to move athletically, is far more indicative of NFL success. It's far more predictive. It's a much more important drill for a defensive end than any of the others. So, yeah, I think it would be a all-time overthink to go anywhere other than Aiden Hutchinson.
Okay. Well, then as a follow-up, then I wanted to ask you about the number one narrative that you're not buying right now with the draft. Would it be Walker potentially going number one, or is it something else?
Yeah, I do think that Walker number one is probably the biggest one that I'm not necessarily buying with this year's class NFL draft. I think the other narrative that I've been seeing is that this is a that this wide receiver class is like last year's wide receiver class. It's like 2 years ago. I don't think the top end of this wide receiver class is that good. I think there are a lot of guys that are picks 20 plus in years past that are going to get pumped up. I don't see a true, like, number one stud guy that right out the gate, like we saw. I mean, even this past year's class, Waddle, Chase, Devontae Smith, all going over 900 yards. I'm not sure you're getting the same guy in the class that's going to do that. So I just don't think, now with the depth is there, but I don't think you're getting anywhere near the top-end talent that we've seen in the past couple of seasons.
Do you think the Jets will go wide receiver with their first pick?
I don't. Now, number four overall, I would definitely don't with that pick. Now, number 10, possibly, but I still think with Robert Salah there, I do think they go line of scrimmage. That's what he likes to invest in. That's obviously what Joe Douglas also likes to invest in, coming over from Philly. So with a strong defensive line class, strong offensive line class, I think those are the two positions they attack.
Okay. Then which receiver do you think goes first overall, and how many do you think we go in the first round?
I think the receiver drafted first is probably Jameson Williams.
Oh, the first one? Wow.
Yes. Because you look at skill set-wise, who has the rarest of the bunch in this class? I mean, it's Jameson Williams. You don't see many guys. Now, he didn't get tested. He has a torn ACL. And then if there wasn't a torn ACL, I don't think it would really be a conversation. But he has the elite speed and the ability to control that speed and the ability to run routes at that speed, that if anything gets overdrafted at the wide receiver position, we've done historical studies on it, it is 40 times it is guys who have that level of juice get consistently overdrafted based off of what they end up producing in the NFL, because everyone gets, you know, in awe of what that they think that could be in their offense. And I do agree, though, James Williams on tape is different than most of your just pure 4-3 John Ross type of wide receivers. He has a little more body control. Is a much bigger catch radius than your average speedster. So when you're kind of stacking this class up, saying what can I not get, you know, in rounds two, in rounds three at the wide receiver position, if I'm drafting, it's what James Williams has.
Wow, that's strong. Okay, because he's in the 5 or 6 to 1 range right now to go number one as the first wide receiver. Okay, so I want to throw some quarterback props at you as well, Mike. And we're talking to Mike Renner, leading draft analyst, Pro Football Focus. I've seen props of 2.5, 3, or 3.5 quarterbacks to go in the first round. I think this is probably two different questions here, but how many quarterbacks do you actually have a first round grade on? And then how many do you actually think will go in the first round?
I don't have a first round grade on any of these guys, sadly. Like a true draft them in the first. This is the lowest we've ever had the quarterback one on our draft board. And truthfully, our quarterback one, Sam Howell, and it's like still deep on our board where he comes off so late in the 20th. So Sam Howell, Malik Willis, and Desmond Ridder is how we have it stacked up. I do think that Malik Willis and Kenny Pickett are pretty much locked to go in the first round at this point. I think those guys will be drafted there. And then I think you see one more at least sneak in the first round. I would be hard-pressed to see four come off the board just because of how weak this class is. I haven't really seen anyone really go to bat with really pumping the tires of any of these guys as, oh, surefire first rounder, you know, don't overthink it. This guy's going to be a stud in the NFL. There's none of that in this draft class. That you'd be crazy to think that. So at that point, I do think the desperation wins out, but there's not a lot of teams that are that desperate at this point. A lot of teams have the quarterback position at least figured out in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because I don't really want to buy the Pickett going number six overall to Carolina. I think that move would make absolutely no sense. Is that kind of what you're suggesting as well?
Well, yeah, that wouldn't make any sense, but the Sam Darnold trade didn't make much sense.
Right.
So you can't always think logically about these things.
Yeah, that part is definitely true. How high can you see Willis going then?
I could see him going as high as number two overall.
Two to the lines.
I think he is probably the highest. If you look at any of these quarterbacks, he's sort of the guy that is the easiest to fall in love with on his tape in terms of projectable tools and what he could end up becoming. And I think that's what everyone's chasing. So I do think he won't last past pick 12 or so. I'd be hard pressed to see him really falling because of that, even if his tape suggests a guy who, you know, I don't want to be starting next year in the NFL.
What are you hearing on Thibodeau? And where he's all over the place. I saw two. I saw eight. Oh, could he fall? What do you think of his workouts and maybe take some plays off? Where are you at with him?
I think the takes plays off and work ethic thing is a little overblown.
Okay.
Now, the personality aspect of do you actually want that guy in your locker room? Is he going to be a guy who fits in is more of where I fall on the Thibodeau thing. Like, he's a big personality. He is going to do things his way, and that's not always going to see eye to eye with coach staff. So I think that is the bigger problem. It's not the talent aspect of it. It's more, how am I going to fit this guy in my locker room? So that would be the thing that causes his fall. But if you're getting down to picks number, you know, 8 or 10 with edge needy teams like the Falcons and Jets there respectively, he's not going to fall out of the top 10. That would be crazy.
Okay. Let's follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mike Renner, our guest, leading draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. You have Charles Cross graded as the number one offensive lineman in the draft, yet most mocks have him going as the third offensive lineman. Why do you think that is?
It's more what I value versus what, you know, other people value. To me, pass protection is far bigger part of the tackle position than run blocking. Not that I could really give a damn about the run blocking. Like, that obviously still matters, mm-hmm. but you look at the tackles that get paid in the NFL, it's because of what they can do in pass pro. Charles Cross, you know, Mike Leach's offense are pass protected more than anyone else in the country. Over like 700 snaps last year, he was a pass protection. So he is well-versed in that. You just watch his tape against Will Anderson. And to me, he can move and mirror edge rushers far better than Evan Neal, far better than Nicky Aquanu, who are the guys, you know, mocked ahead of him consistently. So that's where I'm going to lean at the position. And it's not like he's a poor run blocker. It's just, again, going back to Mike Leach's offense, he's not really doing NFL concepts in terms of what he's asked to do as a run blocker. So it's a more of a projection in that regard. But, I mean, his hands, the way he uses them, I just think that this guy is going to be a plus pass protector, and that sort of certainty is why I put him ahead of the other two guys.
Okay, well, let's say, okay, screw the mocks for a second then. Do you think a bet on Cross at 10-1 to be the first offensive lineman drafted is worth it?
I don't, and it's only because of who's drafting up there. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to look at the teams, and the teams that are drafting towards the top of the draft are far more willing to take athletic projects because they aren't, you know, 1 year away. They can wait on those guys to develop. So with Charles Cross, maybe he's a little bit more NFL ready as pass protector, but they're going to look at Evan Neal and Nicky Aquanu and what they are physically and how rare specimens they are and be like, you know, that's why Greg Robinson goes number two overall to the Rams back in the day, even if he couldn't pass protect Dave Bless, because that was a elite athlete that they hoped to develop. That's how I see kind of Aquanu and Neal versus Cross in this class.
Yeah. Great stuff. You can follow Mike on Twitter. He is at @PFF_Mike and read him at Pro Football Focus as well. Man, you do such a great job covering the draft. Mike, thanks so much for the time today. We appreciate that.
Yeah, well, thanks for those kind words, and thanks for having me on.
Yep, thank you.
You bet. Boy, some pretty strong opinions on in that segment there as well. I mean, the Williams stuff going number one overall, he could see that happening.
You're right. That is 5-6-1.
As the first wide receiver, let me clarify, is the first wide receiver taken.
Yes, yes.
Okay, I'm going to have to, we have a break coming up. I'm going to have to bet that. Yeah, I'm going to have to get down on Jameson Williams. 6-1?
Yep.
Hey, I'm on board. He also, we'll go over his big board coming up as well, because he's got a lot of defensive players near the top, and I like what he said about the quarterbacks. I would agree with him. I think every quarterback in the draft is a major reach at this point. And more props that you can bet on coming up here on Follow the Money.
Looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. They've launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. CityCast in Chicago, Denver, Detroit, LA, New York, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, and now Washington, D.C. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Talk some hockey now. Greg Wyshynski joins us now. ESPN.com does a great job. Senior NHL writer. We've got a big schedule coming up and a big game in New York with the Rangers and the Hurricanes. Boy, you came in hot today. A vicious takedown in Toronto about who you picked of a team you would want to see in the first round. Can you explain your reasons, please?
Well, you know, if you want to win in the first round, you best pick a team that can't seem to get out of the first round as your opponent, right?
I think the Leafs
have a lot going for them, right? I mean, you know, Auston Matthews has leveled up. I think he's now the Mario Lemieux of the Zoomer generation. He's scoring at will. He's doing his whole thing. That does tend to change for him in the playoffs, but hopefully that trend will not continue. But look, you know, this is a team whose goaltending seems to run hot and cold every other week. And more importantly, if you're anybody in the Eastern Conference looking to potentially have a first-round matchup against Toronto, they're a team that every time they get punched in the mouth in the first round tends to just stagger and drop. So, the amount of pressure on this team to excel in that media market is extraordinary. And I just feel like any bit of adversity that comes their way in a playoff series is going to leave them on the canvas. So, like, that's the reasoning there.
Can Campbell get it back? I mean, when you're a hot goalie and then you lose it, can you get it back and find it again?
Yeah, you can. I think, you know, his time away from the lineup when he was out with the injury, I think, was probably the best thing for him. We've seen situations like that throughout history. I remember Chris Osgood from the Detroit Red Wings kind of like took a leave of absence one season because he couldn't get his head straight and came back and I think played pretty well. So that was probably the best thing for him to happen at that point. But, you know, the thing about the Leafs, and this is the frustrating part about them, the last 2 years they had been trending in a direction where they just needed competent goaltending. They didn't need necessarily somebody to come in and steal a series, right? Yes. They just needed someone to not lose the series for them. And that's because they were playing really good team defense in front of them. And that trend hasn't necessarily continued based on the analytics this season. But I do think the Leafs have it in them to be a good, competent defensive team and then just need goaltending that's just slightly above replacement in order to thrive. But again, you know, in covering this team for the last 2 years, they've got the talent, they've got the personnel, especially after the trade deadline and the acquisition of Giordano. They just need to put it together upstairs. And there are teams in that conference where I think that can happen against, you know, if they somehow pull the first round series against the Florida Panthers, who are themselves struggling to win their first playoff series since the 1996. I think that could be a favorable matchup because it could end up being a track meet. But if they stare across the ice and see that black and gold spoke to be of the Boston Bruins in the first round, I mean, they might be mentally defeated even before they start the series against those guys based on what's happened in the past.
Now, Greg, Matthews has turned into a pretty large favorite to win the Hart. He's like, you know, minus 360, maybe even a little bit higher than that at some books. You track all this stuff. How many players do you think are realistically alive to challenge him for that award, or does he run away with this thing?
Yeah, I blame myself. We ran the awards watch last Friday. I think I increased the odds after we surveyed the voters and found how many of them were voting for Auston Matthews top of their ballot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's set in stone. Like, I think he's the clear favorite. He's got the inside rail. He's got all the momentum right now with the goal scoring and the beating Leafs scoring records that he's been doing. There's a lot of recency bias in the Hart Trophy voting. We've seen it year after year, so I think that benefits him too. But
I do think that there's a strong contingency amongst the voters to maybe make Igor Shcherbina of the New York Rangers the MVP. There are some things that work against him, and the primary one being work rate. He doesn't have the number of appearances commensurate with a goalie winning the Hart Trophy. Nothing in the realm of what Carey Price or Jose Theodore or Dominic Hasek had in the last 25 years, and they won the award. But for a good, I would say, three quarters of the season, he was the reason why the Rangers were in a playoff position. They've gotten better as a team since then, and his numbers have actually gone down a little bit, so that recency bias thing kicks in again. But if you were looking for a strong second choice behind Austin Matthews, I would say that it's Igor Shcherbina, the Rangers goaltender, as a possibility to win the Hart.
Yeah, you are correct, my friend, about people who cover the league love this guy and why the Vezina's over, and he's an $8 favorite as well. The great year he's having with the... What do you think of the game tonight there at home against Carolina with first place on the line?
Well, I think it's a real interesting conundrum for the Rangers, and it's something we usually see at this point in the season for playoff teams, which is, do you really want to win the division? If the New York Rangers win the Metro Division, they've got a chance. You know, right. They've been playing really well. You know, Carolina's, you know, vulnerable right now. If you win that division, there is a very good chance your first round opponent could end up being either the Boston Bruins or the Tampa Bay Lightning. If you finish second in that division, your first round opponent is going to be the Pittsburgh Penguins, who, if you look at the New York Rangers record against this season, they've only lost once and they've absolutely dominated the Penguins. Now, regular season does not portend postseason. That's not necessarily an equal value proposition, but in this case, I think the Rangers have some distinct lineup advantages against the Penguins that could play out in the playoffs. And I don't necessarily think they'd want to play Boston or Tampa ahead of having a home ice series against the Pittsburgh Penguins in the first round. So maybe, I'm not saying throw the game, boys. Maybe rest some guys.
Yes. Sure. What do you think of the Florida Panthers?
You know, I'm fascinated by them. We have not seen an offensive team like this since the mid-1990s. They are absolutely steamrolling teams. They're one of the most fun teams in professional sports to watch this year because they're a team that can get down by four goals in the first period and then score five goals in the third period to win the game. Like, I've never seen anything like this before. They are an absolute marvel. The thing about them that's going to make or break their postseason is what the postseason ends up being. You know, I've talked to some people around the Panthers organization in the last few weeks, and I keep asking them the same question. What if the switch gets flipped and all of a sudden it's playoff hockey? Like now the games aren't 7-6, now they're 2-1, you know, like we see in the playoffs every year. And their thought, their counterargument is, who's to say that's going to happen this year? Overall, the scoring in the league is the highest it's been since the mid-1990s. There's a number of reasons for that, from fatigue to COVID absences to everything else. And so the thought is that scoring might continue in the postseason, that we might see, you know, 5-4, 6-5 games in the playoffs this year versus the tight defensive battles. And if that's the case, then they're going to be in real good shape to win their first playoff series since 1996.
Well said. Follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Greg Wyshynski, our guest, covers the NHL for ESPN, ESPN.com. If we get Calgary and Colorado in a 7-game series in the playoffs, how would you foresee that series going?
Wow, that's a great question. I think Calgary is a team built for the playoffs. Darryl Sutter, their coach, obviously has shepherded two LA Kings teams to the Stanley Cup. Calgary is a fascinating team because they could beat you in a number of ways. They've got a lot of great offensive players. Johnny Gaudreau is having a career year. He's going to be over 100 points this year for the first time. They've got great goaltending. They've got solid defensive metrics up and down the lineup. I think they're a really, really tough out. I am not as sold on Colorado as a lot of people are. I feel like they're a team that's still trying to find its way through the postseason. They've got a couple of teams in that conference in the Flames and the St. Louis Blues if they get goaltending that I think could beat them. And I've not been a huge fan of some of the changes that they've made down their lineup and losing some veteran players and replacing them with younger players who, albeit talented, aren't necessarily battle-tested. So I think the Avalanche are vulnerable. And I was talking to somebody at the Frozen Four in Boston over the weekend. I'm like, can I make a bet on the field outside of Colorado? I don't know if there's a book offering that, but if there was a field bet, everyone but Colorado, kind of like what we saw in the Masters, if there's a field bet, I might take that bet because I'm not exactly sold on the Avalanche getting out of the Western Conference.
Interesting. How does it play out in the West? Dallas, Nashville, Vegas, the Kings. Who goes in and who's at home?
Well, you know, if you'd asked me last week, I would say that Vegas was going to be on the outs, but you know, they're trending up a little bit. They should potentially get Mark Stone, their best forward, back if they can figure out a way under the cap to make it happen. And there's some bloggers in Las Vegas that have been crunching the numbers and using the abacus and figuring out a way they can put people on long-term injured reserve to get this guy back in the lineup. The bottom line for me is, you know, Dallas has, I think, 7 of 10 left at home. Some of those are tough games, but they are home games. Vegas doesn't have the games in hand advantage with Dallas. But they do have, I think, an advantage against the LA Kings. The Kings are spiraling right now. The Kings have not won in regulation since March 26th. They just got some bad news with Drew Doughty being out for the rest of the season. That's kind of a bummer. But the Kings are obviously punching above their weight this year. They've got a lot of young players in that team. No one really expected them to be in a playoff spot. So they're going to have to prove that they've earned it, because you can kind of feel the momentum swinging a little bit where Vegas is moving up, the Kings are kind of fading, and we could end up with an Edmonton Oilers versus Vegas Golden Knights first-round playoff series, potentially.
Yes. Yep. You can find the no minus 180, by the way, on Colorado.
Oh, is that right?
Yes.
All right.
All right. Great job.
Minus 180.
Yeah.
Well, those are fat. That's kind of fat. I thought they'd be a little bit more friendly.
Okay. Thanks for coming on. We'll talk to you soon.
Anytime. Thanks.
There you
thanks,
go.
Craig.
Yep.
By the way, I'm seeing some of these games tonight. Okay, the Flames as high as 450 against the Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
I am seeing the Maple Leafs as high as 490 tonight against Buffalo.
And Florida?
I'm sorry. Toronto minus 480, Florida minus 490.
Yep, and they're not
so there's going to be major parlay liability tonight with some of these games.
They're not messing around at Bet Rivers. The team total is 4 as well. Florida's on a 10-1 overrun team total. It's potent offense. Toronto 40-5 third period overrun. VGK 14-15.
Who screws up the three-team NHL parlay tonight then?
Not tonight.
Not going to happen?
Not tonight. Oh, Anaheim's terrible. Come on.
Put it on the board then, Paul.
Yeah, well, I would say if I have to pick one team, it'd be Toronto.
I put it on the board.
Yeah.
Up next, we will recap last night's betting action, line moves, any upsets, bad beats, and win some, lose some. Coming up next.
VSEN, the Sports Betting Network.
Playoffs start this weekend. Play-in round tonight. And Bet Rivers has an incredible offer. Place a wager of $25 or more on any team to win the NBA Finals and get a $5 free bet for every playoff series they win. Can the Bucks repeat? Can Memphis make a deep run? Go to BetRivers.com to see the current odds and get your free bets. Terms and conditions apply. Time for Doug Kazarian. ESPN Daily Wager at Doug ESPN on Twitter, and he joins us now. What do you think of the first game tonight? The Nets are on a 2-23 ATS run as a home favorite. Do you trust them at all against Cleveland?
No, I do not. Now, look, some of that is with players that aren't even on the team anymore, and obviously Durant was hurt for so long. So part of you wants to throw out that record, which I do for the most part. But the common denominator between that team and the team that's going to take court tonight is that their defense just hasn't been a priority all season, and that's why you can't lay 8.5 with the Nets.
Mm-hmm.
Because anytime they're cooking on offense, they let teams back in. And look at the Pacers. I think the Pacers tied the game on Sunday.
Yes.
They came all the way back. They couldn't blow out the Rockets. So they just don't have the defense. And I was trying to wonder, you know, I was big on this Nets team. I thought they were going to win it all. Now, granted, I was thinking Simmons was going to play, but I wonder if, like, the league has caught up. Kind of remember when Aroldis Chapman was throwing 100 and something and everyone else was just blown away and he was unhittable, but then everyone else started throwing 100.
Mm-hmm.
And so the difference between the two just wasn't that pronounced. I think that's the case now with Kyrie and KD, right? They're obviously God's gift to offense and will always be. But just the league now, is everybody shooting threes. Dwight Howard's making threes. So just I wonder if, like, the gap and the competitive advantage they have with guys like KD and Kyrie on the same team at the same time is just not as drastic when, you know, the five on the other team can bomb a three, too. So I just wonder if that's kind of what's doing the Nets in a little bit.
By the way, guys, some movement on this number, or both numbers, actually, this morning. Now Nets up to 9.5, totals down to 226.5.
Mm.
So how about that? Regular season. Yeah, 9.5 now, Doug.
Someone's got to be out or something.
That seems odd. Yeah. If this was a regular season game, I think Clippers, T-Wolves, 230.5 might be a little bit low, but here we are in a play-in game. You still think it's a little bit too low, or could you see this where it's like, hey, guys, like the T-Wolves, like, let's win this game. Let's get it out of the way so we're in the playoffs. They might be a little bit tight. How do you look at this point spread of 3, 3.5 in that total tonight?
Yeah, I have to grab the points here, but in terms of the total, it's crazy some of these trends that really became a thing all summer, or excuse me, all season. The T-Wolves, like, unders at home. Like, they played much better defense at home for whatever reason. Now, obviously, in, like, the NFL with 8 games at home or 9 games at home, it's kind of, like, hard and all depends. Very driven by opponent, I would imagine. But over the course of an NBA season, there's something to be said about that. Now, they had a shootout on Sunday and even the game before that. But I think the Clippers, this is all eye test. I think they're just a little bit more, I don't know, polished and disciplined. I think this Minnesota team is very exciting, very fun. But I feel like they chuck and duck a lot. Like, there's a lot of threes. And obviously, if they're hitting, they're going to be great. But I just love what the Clippers have done since Paul George's return. I mean, they've blown out a lot of teams. So other guys haven't played in the second half and things like that. But I have to grab the points with the Clippers. They're a little bit more polished for me.
You mentioned Minnesota at home, and there's been a lot of instances of with other teams, like Pelicans were on a 24-4 under run first quarter on the road. Memphis was crushing it in cover numbers first quarter and first half. Is there anything that you look at that will continue playoff time and how you're going to attack it, and also maybe look at some team totals first quarter stuff?
Yeah, you know, it's been awesome. And a lot of that is driven, in my opinion, by substitution patterns, especially the teams that have such a huge drop-off between, like, one star to the next, like kind of like Denver, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You want to bet Jokic, like you want to bet Denver usually first to 20 instead of first quarter line because Jokic goes to the bench with 3 minutes left. Same with the Warriors when Curry was playing and Klay wasn't quite 100% yet. So when there's a big drop-off and then certain teams sub out a guy and bring him back in, I believe Giannis goes to the bench early and then comes back at the end of the first quarter, stuff like that. So those are, in my eyes, when you have the quarter and halves, those lines, whether it be team totals or sides, they're all commensurate with the game lines. Kind of like what we realized a few years ago with Alabama first half, right? Mm-hmm. If the game line is factoring in the last 9-10 minutes of just saving power eye up the middle, you know, bringing in the oars a little bit, there's an advantage in the first half. So a lot of this is determined in that regard, or they have a good backup point guard, like with the Grizzlies, when Morant would go to the bench with 3-4 minutes to go at the first quarter, he still had, a good solid point guard play, and it was different, and then Dylan Brooks came back, so it was fine when Brooks was in. So that's how it's all I don't know. I think in general, as a series goes on, the tendencies of the team's offensive sets are more familiar with the defense. So, like, in the regular season, you play these teams, you rarely do the back-to-backs. Now you do the home-and-home, things like that. But I just feel like a playing game, I'm okay with some of the trends. I am. I think there's an element of that. Okay. It feels like a regular season game.
You have everyone there at ESPN, everyone you can talk to, and everyone a part of the team and your colleagues. I saw your tweet, and we totally agree that this Rookie of the Year and Defensive Player of the Year stuff with the awards are going to be fascinating to see. I think you're going to see some major surprises.
Yeah, Brian Windhorst was in town with one of his good friends, just Masters Guys Weekend. I got dinner with him the other night, and I asked him, he's like, I don't know. He's like, I don't know who I'm going to get, but I was asking him Defensive Player of the Year, and he's really torn. A lot of these people are very torn. I was watching NBA TV on Sunday, and I forget who one of the sideline reporters, and she was talking about how stressed she is because she's like, it's a lot of pressure and it's stressful and it's really, really competitive because they're, it's kind of fascinating, right? Like, we have the straw poll that Bontemps dumps for MVP, but, mm-hmm. There's word of mouth. We see these markets get crazy, right? Tyler Hero was the first, like, huge money line favorite for that midpoint of the season for Sixth Man of the Year, right? And it's been a cruise since. But around then, like, Mobley was like $9, I want to mm-hmm. say, for Rookie of the Year. And then for Comeback Player of the Year, Morant was pretty high at that point, like -$5 and stuff. And then there's just these other guys entering the discussion, and it's just fat. Like, how do these markets get set? Like, in the NFL draft, we have mock drafts, right? By some pretty well-known, established reporters and insiders. But how does Morant become a $5 or $6 favorite for Comeback Player of the Year in January?
Very odd. Mm-hmm. I would totally agree mm-hmm. with that. Yeah. Same thing with Mark. How is Marcus Smart -$3 today to win Defensive Player of the Year?
Yeah, I think it's silly. I think that's silly. He might win, but laying that kind of juice when you have all these when some people are posting their picks and they're all different guys. They're Gobert, they're Giannis, they're Bam. I mean, it's just like no one knows.
Yep. Hey, Doug, did you go?
You guys obviously took advantage with Tibbs last year.
Yeah, no, exactly. That's a great. Yes. Yes, great analogy. Did you go bombs away on a Raptors series price yet after the Thibault news, or are you going to let this one play out?
No, I'm going to play it out. I actually kind of like Philly. I think just the dark humor in me, I think they're going to like play really well and then self-combust at some point. They're going to tease their fans a little bit. I've been all over with the Raptors. I think it's a good situation for the Raptors, right? Like not expected to win, really well coached. Some of those guys play really well with house money kind of thing. But I just, for whatever reason, I just haven't come around on the Raptors this season. But they've obviously surpassed their win total, had a really strong year, all things considered with what the expectations were. But there's a lack of comfort I had when I bet on them that I just don't know if they're going to get a real bucket. And it's like Van Vliet pulls some shots out of nowhere. And then Siakam looks like he's off balance and then it goes. And it's just, there's just like a lack of comfort I have with the Raptors this season.
What do you think the Lakers are going to do?
Oh, God. I think they're going to get rid of Westbrook and just have to eat more contracts with more years, right? Like, that's how you do it. They just have to be willing to sustain that. I mean, look, what they won in the bubble when AD was actual, like, a top seven player. He was fantastic, healthy. I mean, if he and LeBron can be healthy and they get some competent players around him, they are legitimate any given night. They would be in the play. I mean, they blew a 20-point lead to the Pelicans.
Yep.
I mean, these games swing everything, right? But they still wouldn't have a shot. I mean, AD looked pretty good when he came back. But for the most part, they're still the league's caught up, man. Like, LeBron's great, but the league is caught up. And they got to figure it out.
How good is it to have a French bulldog as your little guy?
Oh.
Power rate a French bulldog.
Birthday.
Yeah.
Today, he turns one today. He's just dogs in general, right? It's like changed. I forgot like what life was like even before I got him. But he's the man, Paulie. That was really funny. Running into each other at the vet.
Is that
really funny?
Is that typical of French bulldogs? Where you said you take him to the park, he goes for 2 hours.
He's a maniac. Well, I think so. I don't know. They're puppies, so they have exercise. But for the most part, I mean, it's not exactly a greyhound here. They're couch potatoes in a lot of ways. But he's a puppy, so don't get me wrong. He's plenty lazy. He's good. He's
plenty, okay. Plenty lazy, not exactly a greyhound. Good lines. Follow him on Twitter. He is at DoggyESPN, host of a Daily Wager weekdays on ESPN2. It was great catching up, pal. Good luck with the bets tonight. We appreciate it.
You too. Enjoy the playoffs. Begins a couple months of a lot of fun.
Yeah, no doubt.
A little chubby fella. Good guy.
The French Bulldogs, yeah. They can be loud, snoring, that kind of.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He took a bad beat. He was there just to get him a shot, and he had to wait an hour. Like, get organized here at the Bet. Come on.
What it's like almost every single time you go.
Like a four-week wait. Because it's like set scheduling. It's like, guy's hurting here. Come on, I've got to get him in.
Well, we are betting tonight coming up next.